Welcome to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. This is episode 107, Jeff Howard. We catch up with Jeff after about a year since our last interview, and I really always love to hear about his acting career. We unfortunately discuss clicky fingers again, which is scary, scary stuff to me, but we get it in. Somehow he has to bring that up. I bring it up. And so we catch up in this segment. Let's get into the podcast. All right, welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, and tonight's guest is a guest. He was guest number 37. He was in episode 37, Jeff Howard. Welcome, Jeff.
Hey, how's it going?
Man, it's great to have you back. I've been dying to catch up with you. We haven't been able to see each other in our travels yet, but we will soon enough.
We chatted briefly on Orlando, but that was about it.
Yeah, you were working the crowd. You were running for office, I think, at that point. And so, you know, and I was probably
you're off
lifting weights 12 ounces at a time, yes, probably.
You're off in the corner with your curls.
Oh, yeah, two of my curls. Yeah, light beer. One thing I don't have to worry about is I don't drink a lot, so that's a pretty easy one. So how is Jeff Howard, man? I can't wait to catch up. I want to know, last we heard, okay, so let's get this thing caught up. Last we heard, Clicky Fingers season could have been in jeopardy because there was an incident.
Right. Yeah, fortunately, we're on track to open again this season.
Okay.
With some thought to maybe donating some of the proceeds to his family, to the young man's family.
Okay, so let's explain to people what happened. All right, so Jeff is an actor. If you don't know that, you got to listen to Jeff on episode 37, and you can catch the whole backstory. But Jeff is an actor, and he does season acting at a scariest Halloween thing I've ever seen in my life. I could never even drive by the place. It looks so terrifying. And his character is Clicky Fingers, and it's a creepy, it's exactly what you think. I'll put a picture up on that website. It is exactly what you think. Think creepo, and that's Jeff.
Right. Yes. So last Halloween, we've been open 10 years. I've been there since the beginning, so I've kind of been there as it's grown. And we have a lot of younger people that come out to volunteer to do work during the off season or even once we open. And we had a young man who had been out there for several years, and on the morning of Halloween, he was doing some work on an empty 55-gallon drum, and it exploded.
Wow. What was in it?
Some kind of weird chemical. It was just the fumes, but that's all it takes.
Right.
And it just, so many things had to fall into place for him to be cutting on that particular barrel because it had been moved out somewhere else, and he went out and picked some up, and he picked that one up, and it was just all these weird factors. But ultimately, he was in intensive care for a few weeks, and then he passed away.
Oh my goodness, that's just terrible.
He was 18, and it was just a horrific thing, and it devastated the owners. The owners are good people. They're good Catholic people. They take care of you. They treat everybody like family, and it just devastated him. But his mother insisted, like she insisted on Halloween night that we open anyway. She said Brady would have wanted that. He loved being out there. He loved working. And so I don't know how it's all going to shake out, but you know, we've already started having meetings and doing some casting and that kind of stuff. So, you know,
was he a character actor too?
No, he was actually a driver. So he drove. We have carts; they're golf carts that have been stretched to hold eight people, four rows of two people side by side. And he had started out as an actor, and then he moved over to the driving side. So he was actually one of the cart drivers.
And they're part of it, I'm sure, with the conversation and all that kind of jazz, right? Making it more entertaining. And
yeah, they wear black Grim Reaper robes, so
Jesus.
It's very, people, when they ride the carts, people don't even know a lot of times that they're behind them driving because they're all in black. But they obviously contribute to the overall show because they know how to speed up and slow down, and you know, they kind of work it work it to the best you can, you know, based on, you know, the driving.
I'm telling you, this terrifies me. There is no chance I would ever go to one of these things. No chance whatsoever.
Oh. Well, maybe if you got like a behind-the-scenes tour, then you would understand that it's not real.
Yeah, well, but it's still, it's that creepiness, you know, the sudden, I don't like it. I remember going to one as a kid, and probably that was the only one I ever went, and I'm sure that's what messed me up.
It is, and the thing about us is, we're in the woods, so a lot of times the fog is real. I mean, we pump a lot of fog out there, but a lot of times the fog is real. A lot of times there's sounds off on either side of the trail that are actual animals, you know. Armadillos make a lot of noise when they walk through the woods. So, and then I remember the first couple of years I was out there, there weren't as many actors, there weren't as many attractions, so I was by myself on a back part of the trail, and on the other side of the fence on some adjacent property I heard, you know, a family of coyotes, and it was like, oh, that's a creepy sound out in the middle of the woods.
Oh my God, yeah, they're coming for your body. I mean, there's no chance.
And then an acorn fell right behind me, and the hair on the back of my neck stood up because I knew no one else was out there, and that was pretty creepy. Oh, and then there's also legends, and people swear that it's haunted out there, and people see stuff from year to year. They see these, you know, figures and these things, and they hear noises from year to year that they don't know that the previous people, because they will be new actors, and they'll be like, hey, there was a horse. I heard this horse tromping around out there. And they wouldn't know that other people have seen this, heard the same horse sound, but there's no horses out there.
Oh, God. Okay, so let's move on to anything but this conversation, because you're freaking me out, man. I'm telling you, I do not love that. My wife loves that stuff. My sons love that. Not me. I'm just not into
it. It's all fun.
So you are an e-commerce seller full-time. You've been an e-commerce seller full-time for a while. How is business going for you?
Business is up.
That's good.
You know,
I saw your post that you're thinking about getting some help, and I want to get to things you learned in the next segment. But your business is pretty good.
Yeah, it's doing good. But you know, I'm looking to the future, because really all I have now is a flexible job that I can do a lot of cool stuff while I'm doing this. But it's still a job, basically.
Yeah, you bought yourself a job. I mean, you created a job at this level, and I get it. And you know, that's one of the goals of the podcast, is to help people get past that.
Right.
Because it gets to that point, you can process so much by yourself. You can become so efficient, right, efficient enough. But then at some point, you know, it gets tiring because you're doing every step.
It does. And my personality is a type where I'm gung-ho in the beginning, but I'm the opposite of a creature of habit. I have to fight against my disdain for routine and structure.
Well, have you figured out what you like in the business, what sections of the business you like?
For me, it's the thrill of the hunt.
Okay.
That's
so you're
what
a
I
sourcer.
Like. Yeah, but that is not where I need to be working.
Hmm.
I mean, we'll talk about the goals, what we want coming up, but just a little preview is, my goal is to fire myself from all the jobs I'm doing right now.
And each of, and you know, I was thinking about this before the call, is you've had a year to learn these things since last week talked. And so I'm interested to see how much you learned. Okay, so let's do this. What I want to do is take a quick break. When we come back, I want to answer some questions that were from the group My Inventory Team, which is a John Bullard group. My Inventory Team, it's a group that he runs. It's a free group. John has a prep service company, but they do more than prep. They inventory items, and they actually have an eBay business now. So if you've been thinking about taking your eBay business and outsourcing it to an Amazon-type company, My Inventory Team does that, and the group is free. You do have to request to join. So let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hope you're having a great 2016. We know we are. It is a great year. Second quarter, looking pretty strong. We're in shoes and clothing. We think you should be too. If you are thinking about it, look at yoursourcedinventory.com. That's yoursourcedinventory.com. We're members. Listen to these stats. March, average shoe rank $7,290 with a selling price of $89.42. Now think about that. That high selling price is where you're going to benefit. $31.40 profit, 80% return of investment. That's incredible. Clothing, Average clothing rank was 8,966. Average selling price, $46.06. Again, you don't have to sell as many items to get that profit. Average profit, $16.99. Almost 17 bucks. That is a great deal. 94% return of investment. That's yoursourcedinventory.com. Think about getting that clothing list, that shoe list sent to you 5 days a week, once a day. Take advantage. You'll grow your business as much as we have. Yoursourcedinventory.com. Thanks. Man, he's such a great guy. You know, I'm really excited for him. I love his lifestyle. I love the fact that he gets to do what he does. And Jeff is emotional about his acting, and you know, he's a little self-deprecating sometimes. But you know, it takes sometimes that quirkiness to be really good at something, and he's really good. So after Clicky Fingers, we get into some real questions. And the questions come from my inventory team, John Board's group. And I love the questions. I love the approach. And what's cool is we're able to apply them into Jeff's business and Jeff's life. Let's get into the podcast. All right, we're back, and we're talking with Jeff Howard, Clicky Fingers. And this segment, we're not going to talk about Clicky Fingers because I'm still creeped out by it. But what I want to do is, if you don't mind, let's answer some questions from our point of view, from my inventory team. I found three good ones, and I thought they were pretty good. And I want to lead us into the two because I think they're relevant for you specifically. So let's do this first one. So somebody asked a question. They're still using the model 1/3, 1/3, 1/3. Okay, so the 1/3, 1/3, 1/3 model has been put out. You know, several people take credit for it. It's been around for a long time. But the premise is basically you buy it for a third, it sells for 3/3, and Amazon takes 1/3.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Right.
So you get 1/3 profit. 1/3, 1/3. So you buy it for $10, sell it for 30, Amazon takes their 10, you get back 20, there's your original 10 back, here's your $10 profit. It's a great business model.
Yes. But it's not.
Are you still experiencing that?
No.
Okay. Because my opinion, this is Steve's opinion, is that it's very difficult to scale past the, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20,000 a month at that model. How about you?
Exactly. And see, here's the problem. I mean, I live right now, I live off of Walmart clearance. So if you find, you can find those items, those, you know, I mean, I found some yesterday. I found some, I don't know, some iPods and some other things. But the problem is that like you say, that's not sustainable. It's definitely not scalable. And you're essentially relying on the inefficiencies of other systems. You're relying on the inefficiencies of Walmart or Target or Kmart or whatever, that they overbought or they didn't have the right items in the right locations. So that they have these sitting around, so they have to eventually have to mark them down. And so I don't like relying on somebody else to make mistakes or somebody else to be inefficient or make a decision that's not exactly accurate before I can, you know, before I can find inventory.
Well, you're not saying that the inefficiencies are going to go away, because they're not.
No, they're not going to go away.
But those companies could go away.
Right.
How many people believe that Kmart is going to be around that much longer, given in their current structure? Now, I don't want to see them go out of business, but, I mean, they're struggling. They have a massive debt. They've got a, you know, it's a massive challenge. They're closing, I don't know how many hundreds of stores. That inefficiency could go away. I know several people where it did go away in their market. That's where they were sourcing from.
Exactly.
It's gone.
And the store doesn't have to go away for those opportunities to diminish
right,
as more
right.
people come into the market. Because I remember when I first started selling, I mean, I've been doing this since mid-2010, and I had three Kmarts in my area. And I could go into Kmart before they did their semi-annual 50% off toy clearance thing that they would always do. Mm-hmm. And I could pre-scan. I don't know if we talked about this in the last podcast. I could pre-scan everything in their toy area. And knowing that in 3 days or 4 days it was going to be 50% off that price.
So wait, did you go in with a list all prepared?
I would go in the morning that they marked it down to 50% off, and I would just start picking the stuff off the shelves and putting it in my cart.
Because you already had mentally marked it or somehow kept track of
right.
it.
Right. I'd already.
Did you have a method to keep track of it? Because I think that's a legitimate question.
No, I mean I've got kind of a brain that I can. That I can see the stuff on the shelves and kind of know which ones I scanned and hadn't scanned. I mean, it was only, okay. you know, it was only, let's say, 3 days later. So okay. I could go in and do all that stuff. And the thing was, there was no one else in my area that were that was buying this stuff, so it would still be
sitting there.
How many
shopping carts would you get?
I mean, like two or three carts. And I would hit
per
all
store.
Three Walmart. I mean, all three Kmarts. Yeah. Or,
wow.
And I would drive to one that's 45 miles away, and I would do the same thing there. So those opportunities are diminishing. The same with Barnes & Noble. I mean, they're doing their 50% off clearance. They started it yesterday. There's more people out willing to accept a lower margin. So the things that I will only buy at 75% off, they may be willing to buy at 50% off.
Right.
So
because they're going to see a turn faster because they're going to price it at the buy box, and they're content making $4 or $5 or $6.
Right, or they think they're making $10 and they don't understand the numbers enough to know that they're only making $4 or $5.
That's a challenge. Yeah, because, you know, it's interesting. So when you think about the one-third, 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 you do have to remember that there are fees, additional fees. So your one-third Amazon fees are your, you know, they're 15% plus all the rest of the junk, the pull, pack fee, and all that jazz. But you got to ship it there, right? It's shipping now is a challenge because it splits up into warehouses. Where I live on the East Coast, it's 25 cents a pound to ship to the big warehouse by me. It's a dollar or something to ship to California. And so we pay inventory placement fees of 35 cents an item, right? And it's more for oversize. But those are the little fees that you got to figure in that you're not figuring in their service fees. Their service fees are different, right? These
right.
are additional fees. You got to buy boxes. You got to buy tape. You got to buy, and you can sit and say, wow, these aren't very big, or bags. Everything has to be bagged pretty much anymore. These things add up over time when you're scaling up to a large thing. And the other thing you got to remember is, you're going to get returns. I think our overall return percentage is a little over 2 or 3% because shoes are so high for us. That's what skews our number high. What's your percentage?
I was afraid you were going to ask me that. I don't know.
In the twos, probably?
It's really pretty low. I mean, I don't have a lot of returns. I hear a lot of people lament that. But I don't know it. I should know it. As an accountant, the accountant part of me
should
know that, but the actor part of me doesn't care.
You don't want to, you turn it off. See, that's a good thing. That's a skill set.
Well, let's
back
up.
Point is,
let me back up real quick, though. On the one-third, 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 that's a range also, because you got to also look at the price of the item that you're buying. If it's a $10 item, well, that percentage is going to be skewed more towards fees. If it's a $30 or $40 item, then it's going to be the fees are going to be as a percentage lower.
Right.
So that's.
But if you're starting out, you're not going to be buying $30 items. You're going to be buying these $10 items, and you're sticking to that third. And then you realize at the end, I didn't make any money because, as you're saying, it's a much higher percentage on a smaller dollar amount.
Right. And the thing is, when you're first starting out, let's say you're doing this part time, you got another job, it's more play money, so to say. Mm-hmm. Then that's okay to kind of have that one-third, one-third, one-third. But when you get to the point where you're trying to scale up and you're trying to have employees, you got a warehouse, you got goals, that one-third, one-third, one-third is really pointless.
Well, yet your gross margin of one-third sounds good when there's no extra cost. But when you build in all those other costs of a warehouse, of insurance, of quarterly taxes, of paying an accountant, paying somebody to do payroll, paying all these little fees, it adds up very, very quickly. All right, good.
Right.
That was a good one. Okay, so these two are going to kind of be related to you, because I was thinking about these. Someone was interested in building a team. So this is really relevant to your life, right? You've been talking about this a lot.
Yes.
Do we hire specialists or generalists? And I was like, ooh, that's a really good question.
Yeah, that is a good question. I really think when it comes to the early members of your team, they need to be more generalist. Because they may
so be, where would you have somebody help you right now? So what are you thinking that you need help right now?
I need to find either somebody who can have a mind to go out and buy stuff, or somebody that can pack stuff while I'm buying stuff. So basically, whatever I can find, I will do the other part of that.
Okay, so here's a piece of advice that I've talked to 105 very successful people who have, most of them have all brought in help. One of the common things that I've gleaned is that the first place that you really should get help with is packing. It's the easiest skill to teach somebody. You get to see if they're detail oriented. Do they pay attention to details? Do they listen well? Are they teachable? In addition, and this is my little caveat, not only have them pack and ship, or and ship for you, but also have them scan your receipts, because that seems to be the other thing that is a big bottleneck in most people's business. And both of those are, I don't want to say menial, but they're not, you don't need a real high level of skill to do.
Yeah, they're more entry level. So, yes.
Yeah, they're more entry level, because what I've heard from people is that the minute you do that, it takes such a burden, that urgent deadline, off of you. Because their whole focus, that other employee's focus, is getting that box packed and shipped. You don't have to worry about that. You can follow up with them, but you're able to stay doing what you're doing, which in your case would be sourcing.
Yeah.
So that's a little piece of advice I saw. I think you're right about generalists.
I like that. Let me back up to that packing thing. I love that idea, and I've actually talked to a couple people. The challenge that I'm going to have is that in Oklahoma, my warehouse is not cooled.
Okay.
So I'm okay coming in here and working in a sauna with fans. I'm going to have to either find a person who I can kind of get that same buy-in, mm-hmm. or I'm going to have to – I really don't want to move, because I only pay $460 a month for almost 1,000 square feet.
Okay.
So I don't want to – I don't know. That's my biggest challenge, is finding somebody who can come in here and deal with that and who doesn't
care. Well, why do they have to go there?
Well, that's
So here's an option, mm-hmm. right? So since you're doing mostly retail, Arb, right?
Mm-hmm.
What if you brought it to Steve's house and, you know, make arrangements with him to let him do it at his house? Here's what I need. Here's what, you know, you got to do. Blah, 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 blah. Let me know when you're done.
Gotcha. So, like, set them up with a little station or something.
Right. You want to listen to the episode I did with Asad Siddiqui. Brilliant guy. I got to hang out with him in New York a few weeks ago. Just a great guy. I mean, overall, one of the smartest guys I've met. His process was meticulous. He has set that up. He has somebody who, you know, sources and preps. But the reason I love his prep model, where he has retail prep people, he figured out how much volume they could handle, and he scaled to that. Hmm. And so that level bought him X number of dollars. So let's just say you could process, and he tells you the number. I forget what it is. I'm going to make it up and say 150 items a week or something like that. He wants people who only want to work part-time. And so they could process 150 items. Well, that helps him figure out how many buyers he needs. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
He was able to do that. But the other thing he did, which to me is still the genius thing, is he had that person scan the receipts. And that changed his game. I mean, that was such an efficiency. And I think it's one of the genius moves that people miss. And I know it's a hang-up in a lot of business. I hear it from most everybody. It's one of the hang-ups in this business, is you have so many receipts because you're buying so much from so many different places. And he figured that out and fixed it very efficiently.
Yes, I need to listen to that, because, I've got a stack of receipts clipped over here that I, you know, dread putting off. And as an accountant, I hate doing accounting. So I'm probably even more behind than anybody who doesn't know accounting, because I hate it so much.
Right, but that's okay. Those two pieces of your business can be outsourced. But what I loved, again, about his is he figured out how much throughput they could handle, and he scaled to that.
Hmm.
When he hit that level, added another one. And
yeah,
then added another
that's
one.
Great.
And you don't have to worry about heating and air conditioning then, right? You pay per service, and he tells how he pays for all that jazz. It's worth listening to. I think he's on to something. I think it's – and, you know, again, he's looking for people who only want to work part-time for their lifestyle.
Yeah.
They have a lifestyle they want.
That's beautiful, because then that opens it up to, you know, a mom, stay-at-home mom or something like that.
Yep. Yep. Now, the other thing that he does is he has them also be the quality control check from his buyers. So when they bring him things, or when you bring things to this packer, they make sure that it's sellable. If it's not, tell you, and you got to go return it. So
okay.
Another control. And his control for receipts to me, remember, I'm an accountant too, and I'm a controller. So I really appreciated the control systems he had in place. It was very, very cool. So definitely worth it.
That's awesome. I'm going to listen to that.
Okay. Here's the last question, and I think this is a good question too. What are your three goals for this year? This actually was Dan Metters who asked the question in John Bullard's group. And we're asking the questions from my inventory team, which is a Facebook group John Bullard owns. And it's free to join, but you'd have to request to get in it. And Dan Metters asked this question: what are your three goals for this year? And so I was thinking about that for you. Mm-hmm. What are three goals that you're willing to put in writing, and I will hold you accountable, Jeffrey. I will call you out. Probably Christmas Eve, around then, I'm going to message you saying, all right, dude, tell me, here's number one. How'd you do? So give me a
minute. I need that. I need to – I've got nebulous goals, and I need to quantify them a little more, but I need to get, let's say, 10 wholesale accounts up and running so I can start expanding my wholesale SKUs.
Okay.
I need to hire – I want to have – by Black Friday, I want to have four teams that I'm going to send out to shop for Black Friday.
Okay, so you want to talk to Andy Slammons because he has done that.
Yep.
And he's done that very successfully.
Yes, he's the one that
can help you.
He's the one that I kind of got the idea from as far as just sending them out with, you know, a $500 or 1,000 prepaid gift cards or whatever.
Right.
So
well, his process is pretty sound, so reach out to him about that, all right?
Yep. And then the third one is I guess the wholesale, I've been kind of lumping wholesale and private label together, but I guess they're not really the same thing, but I see them both as more, how do I say this? I see them as more
compatico. They are simpatico. They really are
growable or
sustainable.
Yes, right. And that's even though one takes a little bit more, traction to get going. You talked about how there's so many more fulfillment centers. So a lot of the stuff that I would be sending 3 years ago, all to the same place, now gets split out into two or three places, and I feel if I can have 30 or 40 of an item, it's just easier to pack and ship and label when you're doing 30 or 40 of one thing than one thing, 30 or 40 different unique SKUs.
Right. And the beauty of doing wholesale and private label is you can use prep centers. So in your case, you shouldn't add – right now you've got a throughput issue, right? So you shouldn't add more stress to that position. You should – the beauty of using wholesale or private label is you send it somewhere. Andy doesn't process it. Once in a blue moon, you'll see him process his own private label, mm-hmm. and he only does it because it's quick and he can do save time and it's efficient. Generally, his stuff goes to one of four different prep centers, and that is giving him the freedom that you see that he has.
Exactly.
The freedom you want, right?
And I think once I start – I tried that – with some OA stuff I was doing, but I really wasn't doing enough that it really wasn't beneficial. It was kind of herky-jerky when I would send it up there and it'd set for a while. But I think once I get, you know, some replenishable items, some wholesale accounts, then that'll definitely be something I want to look into. I tried it out because I was in Orlando. I wanted to give it a shot, but I think I pulled the trigger a little too soon on that.
Well, to me, and this is Steve's opinion, take it for what it's worth, is that, you know, it sounds like you've figured out your retail sourcing method. Now you need to get it moved, the inventory moving faster. And so if you can bring in somebody at their, again, listen to that episode, he has perfectly figured it out. That will help you get to a level that they could handle. And if they could take 150 SKUs off, or, you know, items a week off of you, that would change your world, wouldn't it, right now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So just as a thought, listen to that because I thought it was really good.
Yeah, that's exciting to hear.
What are the things would you say that you've learned this year? Because you've been, you know, a year – I mean, you had a great year last year. Your sales are really strong, and this year they're even stronger. Mm-hmm. What would you say that you learned that – why would you say that that's happening?
Let me think about that because I'm not doing as many of the – I mean – the past couple of years, I was doing a lot of late night, all night traveling from Walmart to Walmart. I would come up here and work till 2 and 3 a.m. And I'm trying not to do that because I tend to – I don't have a good filter for keeping a balance in my life, and I tend to just get tunnel vision on one thing and kind of forget the rest of my my life and my family. So I'm trying not to do that. I think I'm just buying more stuff. I used to have a very conservative requirements for items that I purchased. I mean, I don't gamble a lot with rank or price or something like that. But I'm having to expand that a little bit and buy more stuff and be willing to take a little bit more risk on the items I'm buying. And then the other thing I'm doing is I'm just trying to really talk to Walmart managers when I go in. And, you know, even me as an actor, I mean, I'm somewhat of an introvert, so I do have to constantly remind myself and push myself to ask them if, you know, if they can give me an extra discount or if I buy all this stuff. But that's one area where I'm trying to slowly build those relationships. And just yesterday I went to a Walmart that's about 40 minutes away and talked to the toy lady, and she goes, "Oh, yeah, you gave your card to so-and-so, didn't you?" And I said, "Yeah." And she goes, "Yeah, he talked to me about this stuff, too. And, you know, if we have anything, we'll give you a call." And awesome. I was like, "Well, that's cool," because, you know, a lot of times that's about 1 out of 10 that they actually call. So, you know, I'm just slowly kind of building that stuff up there. But I think it's all about relationships. And, you know, most of the people that I see in the groups that are, like, hitting these big home runs with these great, you know, trunk full of the same item kind of thing, or really seem to have a knack for building those relationships with managers.
Now, you went to the ScanPower conference you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
What did you learn there, and would you go back?
Yeah, I'd definitely go back. I learned that you got to hire a team.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you did.
And I have not. I've actually talked to two people. One lady I even hired, she also works at the Haunted House, and she was going to do some graphic design stuff. I had a private label item that I was working on, and I've been putting some shirts up for merch, and she was going to do some graphic stuff. She was going to help me work on bundles and a lot of things, and we were both really excited about it. And unfortunately, her best friend, who also works at the Haunted House, was in the hospital. Touch and go for the past 3 months. You know, didn't know if he's going to make it, and now he's kind of getting better, and then he's kind of getting worse again. So she basically put her life on hold and said, I can't work for you right now while this is going on. So it kind of put me back to square one. So I've got to kind of force myself to step back up to the plate and take another swing. But that's my tendency. It's kind of like, oh, this thing didn't go well. I'm kind of going to shy away from it. So that's one thing that I've learned at ScanPower that I'm still forcing myself. And I'm going to L.A. this in July, but when I get back, that's going to be a top priority, is to start working on finding employees.
Perfect segue into where you're going. Rumor has it you're going back out to L.A. for a while. Is that true?
I'm going back out. It's a shorter trip, and it's just going to be me. My wife's not able to make it, but I'm going to be out there for much of July. I'll be coming back at the end of July through Las Vegas, going to ASD, and then coming home.
Now, are you going to buy on your way out?
Yes.
Nice.
Definitely.
So you're going to buy the way out. Are you going to buy when you're there?
Yes.
Okay. So, and do you feel like this would be your second time doing this? Do you feel like more prepared?
Much more, yes, more prepared.
Yeah, see, that's so cool to me. And I think every time you would do it, you would just get more routine, boom, in and out, blow through. You know, as David Hawkins said, you chase the product at that point because you know what the products you want to buy. You just go store to store, map it out in advance.
Exactly. I'm also going to really work hard at networking with some other people out there and basically
– other sellers or other actors?
The actors thing is what I should be doing, but I find myself more worried about networking with other sellers.
Oh, that's cool.
To try to learn from them, not necessarily something that's going to benefit me there while I'm LA, but something that's going to benefit me when I come back.
I have somebody you should see out there. I'll send you a name privately.
Yes, who I think you should meet up with. I've talked to one guy out there, and I'm gonna pester him a little bit, and. You know, I do need to find a good balance of pursuing the acting stuff, but still calming my mind, my worry mind, that I don't want my sales to drop off too much. Because what happened two years ago when I went out there, my sales didn't drop off while I was there. They dropped off afterwards because there was a little dip in the supply chain.
Right, right. That's the negative to the RA model.
Right.
Unless you keep filling the pipeline, it will end. That's where wholesale, where it just continually ships, or you ship an extra. You know, Todd Lammy would tell you that, you know, you're going to be gone for a month. You have to ship an extra month's worth of inventory in before you go.
Yes.
That's his model. That's why he's so successful. He kills wholesale because that's the way he thinks. I'm taking a month off. Fine. I'll ship the extra month in. No big deal. If they charge me an extra fee, it's worth it. My sales never drop.
Right. Definitely. Now,
and so that's, that model makes more sense for you.
The amazing thing is that I can go out there and do what I do and still have money coming in and, you know, product being sold and shipped out while I'm there. So, I feel so blessed to have this because, you know, I've been kind of struggling the past month, you might say, with a little bit of anxiety and some concerns about just finances. I mean, I'm a worrier when it comes to finances, and it's something I've always worried about. And, I posted in the Scanner Monkey group a reply to somebody who kind of posted a similar comment. And I said, you know, the crazy thing is, if I was working an 8-to-5 job and I was in the same situation I am now, I would feel hopeless. But because I can sell on Amazon, because there's so much upside and so much potential, that I am truly an optimist when it comes to my situation. I just can't imagine if I was working a job how the kind of despair that I may feel trying to pay off some debt and trying to, you know, as an actor and somebody who's kind of ran small businesses, I haven't done a good job of building up a retirement per se. You know, you know, when you're working a job, they kind of take out that 3% or 5% or 6% or whatever kind of automatically. You don't think about it. But when you're struggling to keep a business going, which I've got another business that's a moving company that's, you know, I've ran it since 2007. It's, you know, been hanging on for the past few years. That is the last thing on your mind when you're trying to keep the business open, mm-hmm. is a retirement. But it should be a priority. So I'm 50 years old, and so as the years tick by, that causes me a little more anxiety, you know, every year. But I still feel like I have so much potential and opportunity that it doesn't worry me too much, but it's still there always in the back of my mind.
Well, but you think about, you know, and this is the real world, right? When you go out there, you're going to see these other people and they're waiters, right?
Yeah.
Pretty common acting side job.
Right.
How worried are they? I mean, they're beyond living paycheck to paycheck. They need their money daily almost, right?
Right.
When you're at that level.
Sure.
So think of the position you're in, you know, the fact that you're going out there and paying for your trip, I mean, to me, it's just genius. You get to do what you love. You know, to me, I admire you because I think that's a life. That's a life well lived.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to enjoy the journey along the way. That the difference, though, between, let's say, me and a lot of those typical actors who are waiting tables is that they're doing it when they're younger. They probably don't have a family. They probably don't have, you know, bills. So, you know, that kind of, I struggle with that whole thing of, I'm kind of, there's not a lot of 50-year-olds that are doing what I'm doing. They've either given up their dream of pursuing acting, or they've found some level of success that allows them to, you know, not worry about it as much. But I do realize that I have something that a lot of people don't have, and I do feel truly blessed, and I always try to remember the glass is half full and not half empty. But some mornings I wake up and, you know, it's harder to have that view.
Well, I think it's you're human, and that's where that, you know, that confidence issue comes in. So I get it. But, dude, you're killing it, you know, and if you think about it, it's been a year since we last chatted, and you were killing it then. You're killing it even a little bit more. So,
yeah.
Job well done, I would say to you. You know, you hate to think this way, but look at some of the businesses in your town. Do they look busier?
Yeah, no.
No? So, you know, here, you know, lots of businesses failed, and you didn't. You succeeded plus. So
yes, and I did. I will throw this out real quick. Based on our conversation we had in Orlando, we were talking about shoes. I actually did go to a couple of stores, talked to them, and, you know, bought some of their shoes. So, you know, that was I'm trying to move more into the shoes, and I think I started doing Todd's program, and I started emailing out a lot, and I guess shoe accounts are a little harder to get because I didn't get any.
Well, All right, they are and they're not. I got a lot. And so where I go is I go to trade shows. And that's how I've been able to do it, is face-to-face, because they're going to tell you that. We don't want any. Oh, okay. And then you'll hear all the woes of why they're not. It's like, okay, well, here's how we overcome those. And, you know, I love Liron Hirschhorn. And Liron is so direct. He'll say, I sold 1,000 pairs last month. You sure you don't want my business?
Oh, wow.
Any shoe store that sells 1,000 pairs is a mega shoe store.
Right.
When you have that conversation, it changes the conversation in a respectful way, of course, you know.
Right.
And, you know, that's worth it. You're going to be in Vegas for Magic ASD.
I actually signed up. I'm going through the process of registering for Magic.
Oh, okay. Well, I will be there.
But, right, I'm definitely signed up for ASD, and then there's also a pet show, apparently, that's going on at the same time.
Yeah, I'm but coming in for the Magic show. We're not doing ASD. Matter of fact, ASD called today and saying, hey, you're not coming this time. And I'm like, no, we're not coming this time. We're going to pass.
Yep. But is Magic, I forget when it is. Is it around ASD?
Well, there's actually two shows. It's the Off-Price show and the Magic show.
Okay.
Yeah.
I definitely would like to go to that. I'd begun the registration process, and they asked me for some follow-up information or some documents. I don't remember what it was right now, but
okay, we'll take offline. You know, I think that you got to find the niche that you love. There are kitchen shows. There's a food show in every town. Philly Gift Show is coming up, as a matter of fact, and they have it a couple times a year. It's an amazing show, and it's a hodgepodge. I mean, there's clothing. I don't think there are shoes there, but there are a lot of toys. There are a lot of food, a lot of kitchenware, a lot of just a myriad of things. Those things exist in every town, and if you haven't gone to one, that's the place to start. Go. Don't buy a thing. Just go and experience it to start seeing if you could buy things. I love what you suggested at Kmart. Go pre-scan. Only at ASD, there was one booth that was there that said no scanning. There was just one. Everybody else was scan away, man. Have at it. I'll sell you whatever you want. There were 15 guys ahead of you who did exactly the same thing. You know, so, but that's a great way to learn what not to buy, because you'll see it and you'll say, ooh, I can't make money at this. Okay, great. Check it off the list. Now move on to the next thing. And to me, that's what the value of going to these trade shows are. And they exist for any category you want to sell in. There's an event for everything. There's a huge hardware show out in Vegas. Massive. If that's your thing.
Yeah. And I think one of the other things that I can gain is I tend to learn by watching. And I can think that, let's say when you talk about exercise, I mean, I could think that I go to the gym and I'm busting my butt doing everything. But until I see somebody else that's doing it a lot harder, then I can say, oh, wait a minute. I can do that even more intense, or I can do that, you know, longer. And I think for me, I need to go kind of watch somebody, because, like I say, I'm an introvert. So, you know, it's sometimes difficult for me to feel like I have – the other thing that I've dealt with, and I've gone through therapy and I struggle with as an actor, is I don't feel like – that anything I have to offer is of value. So I tend to diminish my worth, you know, experience, knowledge, you know, anything like that. And I tend to overestimate everybody else's. So that's something that I'm having to, you know, work through.
Hmm. Well, it sounds like you are working through it again. You had a great year and you're having a better year this year. So bring us home with how to stay focus, because you've got some focus issues, right? I mean, fair.
Oh, definitely.
Right. Give me something that you think that, well, give me some technique that you use, especially maybe it's acting related, where you're able to get centered and get focused when you need to. Because I think that'll help people.
Well, I think right now I'm actually taking some acting classes. It's called the Meisner technique, which is he's like one of the famous acting teachers. You know, there's the method, there's the Stanislavski, there's the Meisner technique. And the Meisner technique is really to teach you how to be in the moment and listening to what your partner is saying instead of preparing for what your next line is going to be, waiting for them to say their lines. And I think one of the things that's helping me is to live in the moment, not worry about yesterday and not worry about tomorrow, and just try to be there in the here and now and respond. And so, you know, that kind of helps me. The other thing is, and I would like to do a presentation like this, maybe Orlando, is I do a lot of improv. I take improv classes, and there's ways that improv can help the business. And, you know, by yes and by thinking outside the box and by not denying, there's all these little things. And so I'm hoping that my improv training is also helping me just as far as a business sense and as far as just being a person and just, you know, being open to everything that comes your way.
That's very good, my friend. Okay, so best way, if somebody has a question for you, still Facebook private message?
Yeah, Facebook is good. Yeah, I'm using.
All right, I'll put the link out there for you. Man, I wish you nothing but success. I can't wait to hear how it goes with your trip to California. Again, buying on your way out there, buying while you're there, buying on your way back, and you'll ship from the road. That's how you pay for this lifestyle. That's when you realize that you have a pretty good life, my friend. I mean, that's pretty good because most people can't. They can't.
Yes.
I can't get off that time. Guess what? You have no excuse.
Exactly.
You can.
Exactly.
You just have to make that choice.
And one thing I'm going to say is on my trip out, and I'm going to post this maybe in Scanner Monkey Group, and I'm going to try to – I know Chris Green, but I'm going to try to do some phone calls from the road. Like there's going to be some stretches where I may – you know, have an hour between
yeah,
Walmart.
You could do a little talking.
Yeah, and if anybody wants to send me a message, we can certainly hook up and just talk along the way. I mean, I don't think I'm no Chris Green. I can't share a lot of. I'm more of a general inspiration type thing. I mean, I know accounting. I know more than I give myself credit for. But yeah, I think it'd be fun to just talk with people while I'm driving. So.
All right. Very cool. Man, I wish you nothing but success. Another great year. Can't wait to see you. Hopefully I'll see you in Vegas coming up.
Yes, definitely. Hey, it's been fun, man. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. Take care.
You know what I loved about this interview is Jeff is real. He's raw. He has some doubt. You hear it in his voice. But he is more certain this year than he was a year ago. I know his sales, he had a great year last year. This year he's on track to beat it. And yet, still continue to sharpen his life and sharpen and do the things that he loves. How many of us get that chance? You can with goals, follow through, and just improving yourself. I wish you nothing but success. ecommercemomentum.com. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.